Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 583. We're in the book Binyan HaBayis, lesson 8, Act of Harmony. And we're talking about four basic mistakes that couples make when dealing with their differences. And the one we're discuss now is compromise, which is unusual because we're always told that compromise is very, very healthy. And in truth, in practical reality, there needs to be sometimes compromise of bending and working out different things. But I'll explain what he means. It's very, very clear. The concept in the brain about compromise is not fitting for a proper marriage relationship, because the goal of marriage is not just to live under the same roof without fighting. If that's the goal, compromise is a great tool. But it's not about surviving with one spouse. It's like it's becoming one. Then compromise is not healthy. So here's an example. Let's look at a couple that appreciates Shabbos in very, very different ways. The wife, because of her background, the way her family was, loves Shabbos because it's quiet time. And in her own home, the way she wants it Shabbos, to spend quietly Shabbos with her husband and family. She does not generally appreciate guests. That disturbs that goal. That is the wife's mindset of what a calm Shabbos is. The husband grew up in a family, welcome guests by their Shabbos table, and by him it's reverse. It's so hard for him to enjoy an empty Shabbos table. Now, a couple that knows how to compromise will conclude it's not fair for either one to get their way all the time. Therefore, for example, they'll decide every other week they'll have guests. By the way, that act itself, to compromise that way, could be healthy, could be very healthy. But here's the idea of what you have to overcome, this compromise mentality. Because what happens? What happens is if you do this arrangement, then what happens is that with the weeks that guests come, husband's very excited, pumped. The next week, when no guests come, he's mekabel it. He accepts it. He does what he needs for his wife to have that quiet quality time. But in his heart, he's awaiting for that Shabbos that he could once again have, quote unquote, his Shabbos enjoyment. So half of the time, this is the problem with the compromise in the brain. Half of the time, the husband feels he's giving up his own desires for his own wife, and half the time she gives up her desires for him. Basically, she goes along with him, invites guests to good cheer, you know, friendly about it, okay, but she's yearning and looking forward to her Shabbos of the quiet. So it's technically a compromise. One week, wife's way of Shabbos, the next week, Hashem's way of Shabbos. But let's now view this same story with a slightly different approach. Husband grew up with a Shabbos table full of guests, recognizes now that although he loves guests on Shabbos, his wife wants to spend more time with him on that day and the family. Acknowledging his wife's desires, which is simply to focus on a different aspect of Shabbos, here's the key. It's not a compromise anymore. He embraces this perspective. He starts internalizing, this is an extended part of my Shabbos. I'm going to focus on the positive value of her, my wife's perspective of what Shabbos feels to her, and bring it into my reality. And though I enjoy those Shabbosim with guests a tremendous amount because it fits my worldview, I'm going to learn how to enjoy that Shabbos alone without guests, just with her. In the most beautiful way, I'm embracing that other reality. And I'm recognizing that spending quality time with my wife alone is a special opportunity, will strengthen our relationship, will bring the shchinim down, just like the guests bring it down on the other weeks. That, you see, that's not compromise anymore. Externally, it looks like I compromise. One Shabbos like this, one Shabbos like that, compromise. But the internal work now is not compromise anymore. It's not a b'di'eved. I'm embracing it. Same thing with a wife. Wife decides internally. We are technically externally, quote unquote, compromising. 1 week with guests, 1 week without guests. But the week that we're alone, I'm thriving on what I truly, my inner essence wants, to be with my husband alone. The weeks that guests come, I'm not just accepting it bidi eved. I'm putting this in as a new important part of extended self. Hashem wants me also, by having my husband this way, he wants me to recognize the gadol hachnas as erchem, to bring the shechina in that way. I'm allowing myself to express that side of Shabbos that I normally didn't have till now, and I'm extending myself, embracing that other reality, bringing into myself where I am going to start enjoying immensely those Shabbosim that have guests as part of my inner natural desire, even though it was originally an extended desire, which is the desire of one's spouse. So you hear what I'm saying? That's not compromise anymore. On the surface level, it is compromise. Right? One Shabbos like this, one Shabbos like that. That's compromise. But it's not compromise because it's not bidi evid anymore. I'm embracing it as part of my own psyche. I'm embracing that new form of Shabbos that normally does not come natural to me. The quiet Shabbos to be united with my husband or wife. The more with the guest Shabbos to bring the Shechina in that way. That's a perspective that allows to use their differences to uncover a greater unity. Same thing, pick anything in the world. Vacations. One wants a vacation where they're running all over the place. Exploring things. If they don't do things, they don't feel accomplished. That's not a vacation. The other one wants to sit back and relax and chill. Right? The different personalities. Compromise means you do one vacation this way and one vacation that way. Or in the same vacation, and let's say you're on a week, a couple of days you do with an agenda and you go places and the other places times you relax. It looks like a compromise. It could be like a compromise. But the truth of the reality is, the key is to embrace the difference. The one that wants to run around all the time will embrace as extended part of herself. I need to uniquely understand and appreciate sitting on a beach chair with my wife or my husband, watching the scenery, not planning anything else today. Whatever happens, happens. Chill, flowing. The ducks are going by. The beautiful pond that I'm seeing here and the leaves rustling in the wind. It's not my normal self. I like doing this and doing that. So I'm running here, running there. And it's not like bidi evid anymore. I'm embracing that extended part of what was once my wife's or husband's desire, bringing it into myself and appreciating it. And the other one, naturally, I like to relax and chill. But now I'm going to spend these few days, well, let's explore this, let's explore that, and embrace that. That's not compromise. That's bringing the extended reality into yourself as part of a whole. It's such an important concept. This is the appreciation of another personality difference that you're never going to become that person. You still have your individuality, but at the same time, you embrace it. That's not compromise. That's bringing an integral whole. Outside, it looks like compromise, but you're bringing a wholeness to it. This is the Shana Rishana Revisited, by the way, that every person needs to have, no matter how long they're married. But the idea is in the beginning of marriage, this is what it's all about. That's what Shana Rishana is all about. The couple's unity does not happen a day after the wedding, or even after the first year. It's a lifelong, long journey. Talked about Shana Rishana in Lesson 1. But the first year of marriage is set aside to build that foundation of unity. How to break out of that constricted perspective, you were the center, and now you're extending that center, which is hard for you. You have to build those foundations in Shana Rishana. Build that unity in Shana Rishana that will go through the rest of your life. There's no time limit of Shana Rishana. If you're married 25 years and you still have to work on it, as long as it takes. As long as you didn't yet include your spouse's reality into your own as an extension of yourself, you still have that obligation of Shana Rishana. That is such an important concept. Such an important concept. Then he quotes the words of the Stipler. A fascinating thing. We're talking about embracing differences here. I'm going to read it inside. It's too long. We're going to have to go into the next shiur to go into this more, but I'm going to start off. He said, Rav Moshe Shechadowitz said as follows, when the Stipler instructed me about the ability of almost every couple to come to Shalom, he taught me a lesson I would never forget. He began by explaining, as a matter of fact, you must know that any couple who stood under the chuppah has a chazakah, that it was for the best, even in this world. And if it doesn't seem to be the case, look again. Chazakah means, by the way, a strong assumption, almost a 99.9% fact, that even though you can't prove it, unless it's proven otherwise, is a chazakah that even a marriage, a couple that looks not aligned, it will, you look deeper and you'll see they're fit for each other. Disclaimer, disclaimer, disclaimer. We're not talking about abuse. We're not talking about severe neglect. The Torah allows divorces to happen. So obviously the Torah knows there are situations where get sometimes takes place. We're talking about 95% of you. Okay, in that where it does not need to be. And then he said again, the Stipler, in a louder voice, if it doesn't seem so, meaning if it doesn't seem that you're aligned with one another, look again. And then he looked it deeply into his eyes and repeated it again with a more forceful tone. If it doesn't look like that, look again. After the fourth time, his voice got even louder. He says, my body began to tremble from his powerful words, and I understood this was just the beginning of the lesson. And at the tenth time, he said it a tenth time, he was shouting on the top of his lungs, the Stipler. If in any case, it doesn't seem to be that's the case, that they're aligned, look again. After he finished, he went back to his learning, gave him a sign that I was dismissed. He said his body was shaking from the roar of the Stipler's voice ringing in his ears. He says only a person who knew the Stipler could understand his experience, but the intention was clear. After one is ready, married, there's no possibility of saying that the Shatran made a mistake or that the person made a mistake. I have to still say that disclaimer of a severe abuse situation, okay? But other than that, most of you, 95% of you listening, that's the case. The Shatran did not make a mistake. You did not make a mistake. There isn't even a possibility to say that the marriage must have been because Hashem wanted to give one of the sides just to suffer in this world. If you think that's the case, look again. You look deeper, and it seems clear that it was a mistake, look even deeper. Don't stop until you find that you're wrong. If you made it under the chuppah, you have a chazakah, that's the Ratzon Hashem, and it's for the best, even in this world. Again, barring the situation of real abuse and going through real Das Torah where, in certain situations, a get is necessary. So this is a very important yesod. So I want you, we're going to go to the next shiur, where I want you to refer back to this shiur and what the Stipler's words were, which I'm going to mention briefly in the next shiur. And we're going to move on based on a practical application that took place by the author of the book right after being by the Stipler, where a matzah came up to him that this lesson helped greatly with. Bracha v'atzlacha.